On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Tall Can Sports, Rob over there, Matt over here.
Hey.
For a Wednesday evening, as we lay all the cards on the table.
Tip of the cap, top of the morning.
Can't talk much about the baseball playoffs since, as we sit here right now, Cubs trail 1-0. They are probably not too impressed with the rainout yesterday that allowed Strasburg to come back and pitch. Also, Yankees and Indians go later on tonight. So we will not be addressing that a whole lot because the moment this gets posted, it will be out of date if we do. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. And if you'd like to support the show while getting your hands on some bonus content, you can do that at Patreon.com/TallCanAudio.
You'll get things like Matt and I doing a excellent version of Blue Swedes. Hooked on a feeling.
Yeah. How has that not happened? You're going to have to take the top level to get that one, I think. How are we doing here, man? You've just vented for about an hour.
I was going to say, my bowels haven't moved today.
I'm sorry to hear about that, man.
That's very Japanese.
All the best.
How are you doing? Oh, my corns are acting up and my bowels. And when I asked the question.
Just kind of.
Yeah, nobody
was generally okay.
Yeah, nobody really wants to know exactly how you're doing.
Suckers gats to know.
Yeah, just say, yeah, I'm fine and lie like every other douchebag out there. Nobody cares about whatever's wrong
with
you.
Because you know what? No one will ask you a second time. You'll never get asked again if you start telling me about your bowels.
This is true. Yes, I have some, I have erectile difficulties. I'm seeing the doctor about ED. Can you help me with that?
He was on crack.
Yeah, it's actually, what he told me was a couple of popsicles, a couple of elastics, fix that bad boy up like nobody's business.
It's like building a little fort.
This is it. This is it. Stretch.
My eye.
Yep, exactly.
That's never heard down there.
Yeah.
We.
Sorry, because you keep.
Didn't put
keep,
it.
Keep the manscaping to a fine lower level.
Thatch.
Nobody. Thatch speaks of a. There's a bunch of things living in it. Like a Middle Ages home.
It's one of those, what are they called? The cross fences in it that like, you grow the shit off of, right, Hank?
Yeah, well, and thatching.
What is it called? It's got a certain name to it when they all run down diagonally across each other.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. And so does the good listener.
But it's not coming to me. Anyway, that's what
lattice.
I think of. Yep, that's it. We kind of had a thought here that this would just kind of be wherever it goes, right? We're a week into the NHL season. Lots going on in the sports world. If it's all the same to you, I wouldn't mind.
It's not. So let's just carry on.
I wouldn't mind starting in Vegas last night, which was Tuesday night, home opener. Did you have a chance to see the highlights or anything of the opening ceremony, the way they kicked it off?
I did.
I thought it was...
Okay, wait. And before we get into that...
Okay.
No. It's the same topic. I'm not moving away from the Vegas topic. just before you... Where do you stand on Vegas strong, Boston strong, Ottawa strong?
I get it. I think we may have worn it out a little, but...
I like it. I wonder if, at some point... But anyways, I was just curious.
So one of the things that they did was all their sponsors agreed, we won't have advertisements on the board. We're going to have Vegas strong along the boards all the way around. Nice touch, I thought.
For sure. I totally agree. And I think they held off all their sort of... The pomp and ceremony of what a traditional home opener would be like.
Apparently that's going to happen Friday night at their second home game.
Exactly. So that they could honor victims, survivors, first responders, all those sorts of things.
And so if you didn't see it, I thought they did a really nice job. Instead of doing the big... Worth understanding here, Vegas, obviously a non-hockey market. You're really trying to sell your stars, right? Really trying to market something. And so... As Rob mentioned, and they will get to it, instead of really doing these big things, explaining, you know, who these guys are and where they came from, the guys on the team became secondary, and they had them accompany a first responder out. As they were introducing the guys, they first introduced a cop, a fireman, an ambulance driver, a doctor, a nurse, all these people who were overwhelmed during the events. But we're the first on the scene and first to make sure things were getting taken care of. And so they would introduce this person and say, you know, accompanied by number 29, Marc-Andre Fleury, or whoever it was going to be. And I thought it was a really nice touch. They also did 58 seconds of silence for the 58 people who died. And during that moment of silence, they had all 58 of those names projected on the ice. I watched it live. I got to tell you, you know, I've been to enough sporting events. I've done the moment of silence thing. When they put it that way, 58 seconds, long time. Long time.
For sure.
And, you know, when each of those seconds represents something, maybe that's what it was. You think about it a little more or whatever. And the Coyotes, when they came out for the anthem, they skated up and stood behind the Vegas team who was standing behind the first responders. I thought the whole thing was really well done. And in terms of the circumstance with sport being such a minor thing in you know, the big picture, I don't know what they could have really done better in terms of trying to still, this is something to get in and forget about what's happening and have a good time and introduce a new team to the city.
In a brand new, fantastic arena,
like
apparently.
This can't possibly, this is almost, you know, like I said, sports being such a small thing, this is worst case scenario, right? You're trying to make an impact. You're trying to have a good time. You're trying to draw people in. And night one, you're dealing with this. And I get it.
Well, but you know what? I wonder if the, trying to handle this with some
tact.
If what comes out of this is this allows the Golden Knights to sort of play a role.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying in any way it helps anything, but it certainly does give
maybe something to rally around.
It is Vegas. It's Vegas's first pro sports team.
Yeah.
I think they, as you said, they pushed all the right buttons yesterday, putting all the focus where it should be, right? It's a great gesture.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that will, as the healing process moves on, if that buys them even a little bit more good faith.
Right.
Really, in terms of people saying...
I remember going on that night, or this was the first big gathering again.
Right. Well, and I heard people talking about seeing, you know, kids and their parents who were at the concert that came to the game, right? And what a great visual the whole thing was, right? That these people were coming out again and trying to move on and using sport as the vehicle to sort of, because man, I don't know about you, but I think about it all the time when I I was downtown when La Machine was here, right? And you think,
yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, it's packed.
Yep.
You're in this big open area downtown, and you can't go anywhere.
Nope. And one gunshot goes off, there's a stampede.
And that's it. And you're likely, there's nowhere to go.
No.
Right? And so, and I was thinking that at the time, you know, like this is.
Yeah, well, we've talked
about. I wasn't thinking gunshot so much as I was thinking, you know, bomb or.
Yeah, any kind of incident. Yeah. I we've talked about it on the other show before. I went to that anti-flag concert, this tiny little bar downtown, not too long after the Paris one, and you just go, there's one arrow out, one exit out of here. It's a narrow hallway, and it's going to be panic, right? And I was upset that I was thinking about it, but you go, that's the fucking world now, right?
Yeah.
And so as you say, to only be 9 days removed from the incident and being willing to go again to another large gathering.
Right. That's a huge leap of faith.
Yep.
Right. And so I think in the long run, I think this is going to pay dividends for the Vegas franchise. Just like, and his name escapes me now, England.
Derek England,
right? Who I was unaware until they selected him in the expansion draft that he for years and years now has been living in Vegas.
Yeah, I guess played some minor league hockey in Vegas at one point.
For the Wranglers?
And met his wife there. And it's his adopted hometown. And so he spoke to the crowd before the game and said, you know, we want to do our part in the healing process. Together we're Vegas strong, these sorts of things, which had to be difficult, right?
Yeah, for somebody who's not just an athlete, but who does make their home there.
Right.
And and then for him to go and score a goal last night too.
Because he's not exactly a sniper. Let's talk about the game a little bit, man. It was 3-0 before people knew what was going on, right? And Antti Raanta, I don't know. I was up flipping between that and the Sens game, the two late night game or late games last night. And I mean, hard to say that he didn't just get run out and have a bad night, but, you know, Pierre Maguire at one point and said, and those people on Twitter, you wonder if the moment was too big for him, right? Or are you still, hard to say, right? But the Golden Knights were all over them right off the bat. Thomas Nosek will go down as scoring the first ever home goal for the Vegas Golden Knights. And like I said, it was 3-0, 10 minutes in.
Who will still only be a footnote to James Neal.
Who is lighting it up. Another two last night. I think he's got 4 or 5 goals now in 3 games.
Well, I'm seeing people are already saying, you're already hearing people talk about, that he'd be a great pickup for a team who was going all in at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Like, you've already now going, hey, that's a good story. You're 3-0, flick.
Yeah. I saw that someone say that online. This guy, at this point, the way this is all going, going to be hard to trade now, right? And it's going to be even harder to trade. They keep this pace up. They may need him themselves in the playoff race.
Well, but, and really, as you look at it, and we talked about this, moving away from that, unless there was something more you wanted to touch on there.
Not really. It's an interesting thing. They've still got 11 NHL defensemen. They've had to put Shrepachev in the AHL.
Some of their talent that they'd like to.
I think George McPhee thought he was going to be able to. I got all these defensemen. There's going to be. And what's happened is the opposite has happened. Other teams are looking at him going, you got 11 defensemen. I know you need to trade them. I'm not upping my offer because you're going to come to me. And I think he backed himself into a corner here where he's now not icing his best lineup.
And everyone thought he was super shrewd, as we all did, right?
Yeah, for sure.
If you can bank assets.
Everyone wants defensemen.
Right? This is it. And so it turns out,
I was reading that.
Not yet.
In Elliot Friedman's 31 thoughts today.
Although Montreal should.
Yeah. In Elliot Friedman's
take a look.
31 thoughts today, he said that he spoke to an NHL executive who said all the ones that everyone's interested in, he's not trading. So not sure what's going to happen there. But just before we came on the air, tweet came out.
Waivers, I think they call that.
Eric Engels of Sportsnet in Montreal reporting that they're trying to trade. Montreal is trying to trade Mark Streit, who they signed.
And was a healthy scratch for large chunks of the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Well, they're not a playoff team. They're not a cup team. They certainly have aspirations to be. He was supposed to come in and help replace what they were losing in Andrei Markov, and it hasn't worked out that way because of Victor Mete.
Who ever saw that?
And as Mete has come in, Davidson has played pretty well, and now David Schlemko ready to come back from injury. They got guys. They either have to return Mete to London, which some people think is unlikely now because he's playing top pair minutes with Shea Weber.
Well, and is Mete playing top minutes anywhere else in the league?
No, probably not, right? But unless you're going to do that.
The guy, his name escapes me. He writes for The Athletic out of Montreal, covers hockey. He was on saying, hey, Mete playing top pairing minutes in Montreal, Shabbat's in Belleville.
Yeah, well.
Well, so I'm like, hey, buddy, easy there. Easy there, fella.
Yeah. Although we will get to Ottawa here because it's been an interesting start for them as well.
Well, there's a pile of things
that Ottawa blue line continues to get less healthy
They were at number 11 on the depth chart yesterday. Right. So, hey, Vegas.
But interesting, just because it came up just before we went on the air, that Mark Streit apparently available if you want him. And yeah. So many teams clearly did in free agency.
Well, and you know what? I'm not aware of exactly what kind of contract he signed.
1 year, $750,000.
Yeah. So that's a smidge over the minimum, is it not?
Yeah.
So clearly that was a red tag sale because clearly nobody wanted him. Right, so you can't turn around now and flick a commodity.
Yeah, exactly.
That everybody could have signed for nothing.
Well, we see this every year, right? On these PTOs and whatever, because Toronto did it for two straight years. Vancouver was doing it this year. And you go, yeah, sign these guys and then deal them at the deadline, or bring them in on PTOs and trade them at the deadline. No one fucking wanted them all summer. Who's going to trade you? They could have had them for nothing.
Well, okay.
Now they're going to give you
and
something.
Let's just look at it and say, yeah, Mark Streit comes in there and he is serviceable 4-5 guy, like plays up,
sure,
like maxes out potential.
Yeah.
And then come March, you go, all right, see, he wasn't, you know, he was better than he was last spring. He has a little something left in him. Maybe you can flip him for a late round pick.
Sure.
But no, you don't just 3 games into the season go, hey, that guy you didn't want to sign for nothing?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Someone want to give me something?
Here you go. And when you have what right now is one of the most...
How does Colorado not take?
Yeah, Colorado, who's what, 2-1,
yeah,
I think.
Still with no defenseman.
Looking down their nose at Montreal saying, hey, wouldn't you like to be here, 1-3 guy? Hey, 1-3.
No, it's... where do you want to go next? Let's go to Ottawa next, since we did kind of head this way anyway. Shabbat, now, you'll correct me if I've got this wrong. I thought I saw yesterday before that Shabbat and Harper were called up, and then I see last night Harper placed on IR.
No, Harper came up and got hurt in the Detroit game.
Okay.
Yarosh.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
And Shabbat were called up for the West Coast road trip.
Okay.
So, and they both played last night.
Yeah.
Now Boucher went with 7D, 11 forwards.
Looked like he was kind of backing off, which maybe shouldn't be anyone surprised he sent him down. He looked like late on he was kind of backing off Shabbat a little bit, I thought, like it, as the game.
Well, because both those guys, see, overtime, Shabbat got a pile of time.
I saw that.
And in through the end of the third period. And,
but that,
and that's where Yarosh got the bulk of his play.
Yeah. But in an East-West, you know, we saw this with Toronto-Chicago the other night. Once you get to overtime, it's East versus West. Fuck it. Now we'll both go get our.
For sure. Yeah. And why Shabbat went down in the first place wasn't because he couldn't skate with the puck.
Right.
He couldn't make, like, honestly, he put the puck on Stone's stick that.
Yeah. Odd as it is, 3-on-3 is exactly where you want to play Thomas Shabbat if you have him
because
up.
Because he was sent down for his deficiencies in the defensive end.
Right.
Right. Just in terms of reads on the breakouts. What do you do under pressure? So all these, so Yarosh playing the majority of his minutes in the second half of the game, too, and he only played 7, right?
Yeah.
All came at the expense of Weidman, right? If you watch the game, Weidman took a couple bad penalties.
Yep.
He is not. To me, that's the guy who, if they're going to move a defenseman, that's going to be the guy. Well, I'm not saying he's going to bring any great value back, but you do have a bit of a log jam there.
Okay. You got to figure they badly want to get Shabbat back down.
For sure they
do. You have to assume.
They
cut him before camp. He's clearly still their best prospect, and there's still high hopes, but he wasn't ready. And now the fact that he's up isn't because that's changed in 3 games. Well, need him.
You have no Carlson. You have no Oduya. You have no Harper. Right? So right away.
Well, didn't I see Boro was was beat up? Is that not the other guy that was?
Porto had six shots on goal last night. He was right, lighting it up. Maybe no, it is Harper. I'm
surprised he didn't get to shoot in the shootout right Harper, after.
Oh, do you? Yeah, and you referenced that earlier, and I've been hearing for since last year, midway through last year, right, that Piatt kills it in practice, right, and that's all that is.
Okay.
So, and he took one last year, and he was one for one last year. So, I wasn't surprised.
Well, Lottie fucking does. Yeah. Still got fucking Mark Stone sitting on the bench.
Well, Mark Stone going into last night, 1-for-9 career in the shootout.
I'm not going to Tom Piatt before.
Well,
I'm going to go down.
You got a guy who's one for one, and you got a guy who's one for nine.
Last year.
Okay. All right.
Did Chris Cuthbert not sing out the stat? He was something like 1-for-4 in his career or something.
Piatt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll
take his fucking one for. That was 20 rounds deep maybe last year when he got his one.
No. And if you look at it, and if you think last year's stats don't count anything. No. All I'm suggesting is if you look at that Detroit game, Ottawa was the way better team in the Detroit game.
I did not look at that Detroit game. Apparently it was the dog's fucking breakfast in terms of entertainment value.
It certainly was. Okay. But that's thank you, Mr. Boucher.
Hashtag the system.
Appreciate that. Detroit last year, any guesses on Detroit's shootout record last year for a team that didn't make the playoffs?
Yeah, no, I remember hearing about this in the preseason, maybe against Toronto, that they were fucking fantastic.
9-0.
Yeah.
And so they came out.
Still didn't fucking.
And didn't make the playoffs.
Bonus points.
Well, this is it. And so they came out in Ottawa the other night. And now whether that's just guys like you have Franz Nielsen came out.
They're really, really missing Anthony Afanasiou.
Look like a killer, right? And Tatar, Nykvist. They seem to have these guys who.
Yeah, they're just guys.
Shootout guys, apparently. Yeah.
Well, and that, to me. All right. Toronto could use one or two of them.
Yeah, well, I think Toronto was at the other end of the spectrum. Well,
that's
right?
It. That's how it came last year that Toronto gave up 9 points in the shootout. We just go, oh,
did they give them all to Detroit? Is that what happened? Yeah. And I, you know what? Before I came over today, and the reason I was late,
Central Time show prep. Yeah,
looking at the stand. If the season ended today,
God. Undefeated for the Leafs.
With 78 games.
Leafs and Vegas Golden Knights for the Cup Final.
is you look and go, all these teams that are lighting it up. And so Ottawa sits in a wild card spot right now.
1-2.
Okay, yeah, but here the idea is here. They've scored 8 goals, and they've allowed 9, which last year they made the playoffs, finished second in the division, with a negative goals for and against. Well, and you're like, how the f- does that happen?
Well, I said to you, I don't know, your pitch and your voice there just gave me a little fucking...
Johnny High voice.
Yeah, but it was giving me the...
Piss shivers?
No, come on.
Toothache? I don't know what you got.
Buffalo stance fucking...
Nina Cherry.
What's his name? Right, what's he like?
That's it. Thank you. It was ringing some kind, because you know I'm a big Buffalo stance.
For sure. Nina Cherry, man, of course.
Yeah, no, I said to you in an email earlier on today, I was heavily invested in that shootout last night, badly wanting Vancouver, who I also hate, to win just so I could fucking, look at fucking Ottawa getting by on just their shootout points, which was Toronto last year, right? Or their extra points. Just keep losing in overtime or the shootout, but.
Well, I hate it. I think they need to fix that.
I really do.
And really, Ottawa doesn't want to go to the shootout.
What did you think of...
That's a worst-case scenario for us.
Well, clearly, because I got Tom Piatt in the three goals.
I think it's worse for Buffalo. I think Robin Leonard's gone 15 shootouts without stopping a shootout attempt.
What did you think, to be honest, and I know what the overall impression of it is, what do you think of the 3-on-3 last night?
The Ottawa one?
Yeah.
It was dynamite.
See, I don't...
What did you not get? To me, that was
because I saw it with Toronto, Chicago. I'm seeing it across the league. It's just all right. Here's some flurry of activity, and now I'm going to circle back, everyone's going to go and take a line change.
Yeah, and that's a soccer mentality too, right? Where you see them, where you never in a 5-on-5 situation without you'll die trying to keep the puck in the offensive zone.
Yeah.
Right? But that's because with 10 guys on the ice, it's so hard to gain the zone.
I understand it, but like I'm going to I don't so even know. Cody Ceci, let's say. I'm going to skate it back behind my net. You're going to all going to go change. We're all going to go change. And now, I don't know, Freddie Claussen comes on, and he's going to come take the puck from Ceci, and Ceci can now go get off.
It's Claussen. He's we're no all relation to Cindy.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it is, actually.
So now he's going to go get off, and we'll all go and do it again. And we're going to make a breakout pass, and we're going to see, oh, my God, it's a breakaway. And, oh, we love the breakaway, but we don't love the shootout. Like, to me, it's just, I don't know.
Okay.
It's not better.
And
it's entertaining, but the shootout is entertaining.
Hey, I'd rather go to 4-on-4, go to 3-on-3.
Sure. And I'm okay with it.
Ditch the shootout.
To me, this whole thing of, well, this guarantees the best team wins.
What does?
Is the 3-on-3 instead of the shootout. Because this is more of a team game.
Hey, go 5-on-5, man. Do that.
No, I'm fine with that, too. But it just, we need to get over the fact that this is so much better of a, it forces, it's better for the best team. Right? Because you know what? You only got to use 6 forwards. And everybody's got a pretty decent top 6. It's in your depth where you fucking lose it, right? If, you know, think of the worst fucking, it might be Vancouver, right? Sedin go out. And then Horvat and...
And Horvat looked pretty good last night. Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, he looked all right.
He had some jump. Right? And he had no finish because clearly he...
Bo don't know.
Yeah. But he was in there. He was all over the place, yeah. Right? And I rang one off the post.
Yeah, that was in overtime, wasn't it?
No, that was... Maybe I was thinking Sven Barchi on the
yes
on the breakaway. Like, thank God it's Sven Barchi. But honestly, Anderson looked cool as a cucumber on that. Thank you. Get lost, kid.
He looked pretty good last night in general.
Punk ass. Yeah.
You punk ass bitch.
So, but to me, I think they need to tweak the whole, because I don't like it, whether it's my team or somebody else.
No, I know. I think...
Believe me, I
find 3-on-3 most of the time to be reasonably entertaining. I just don't think it's any different than the shootout in terms of, this is a fucking coin flip.
So how many times have you seen somebody throw it back to the goalie?
Not often, but you do see it.
Well, you probably saw it twice last night. Broussard does it all the time.
It was late. I don't remember.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was drunk.
I wish.
Again.
Still.
Yeah, but that's what it is, right? You have that whole wind them up, sort of trying. I like it. I would rather not go to the shootout.
I just don't like, now 5 out of 6 guys scurry the bench together and we'll all come back and like.
But I was listening to Pierre Maguire this morning. And
that's
a
shame.
Yeah, but he was talking about, and it's interesting, right? Because some guys just don't do well.
Some guys have all the. Sorry, go ahead.
It's all right. I was gonna let that breathe, man.
As
go ahead. take it away, maestro. Yeah, some guys excel at it, and some guys don't, and it's sort of inexplicable, right? And he was talking about certain guys. Who you see it, right? Who they want the ball, or they want the puck, right? They want to be tabbed for it. And Boucher was saying last night, yeah, some guys want it. He goes, and then other guys are like, yep, look elsewhere. And they sort of like, and Boucher signaled to Kyle Turris. He's like, Turris stands up always. He's on the bench. He's like,
me, please.
Take me, I'll do it, right? Whereas he goes, other guys just sit down and they're like, I'm going to be inconspicuous.
Well, apparently that was a thing, and I can't even remember maybe which guy it was, Iserman maybe, or whatever. When you go back to the 98 Olympics, apparently there were certain guys looking a little sluggish, right? That try and, I don't really want to do this.
I'm going to put Ray Bourque out, but yeah. I'm going to leave.
It wasn't Gretzky, but one of the guys that apparently Crawford wanted to use was looking down, and he kind of had his head down and towel half over and don't pick me, right? Like I don't remember who he was talking
about. Well, because they left Iserman and Gretzky on the bench.
Yeah. Let's talk about Turris for a sec. There's been some news there, not news, I guess rumblings more so, that what are we going to do here? He apparently wants to commit to Ottawa, wants to stay, wants to do it long term. From everything I hear and I've read, they agree on the numbers. It's the years that they don't agree on. Turris
wants 8.
Yeah, doesn't everybody. Turris, after what he went through in Arizona, is not interested in uprooting his family again and having this be another thing where he comes off looking like a douchebag.
Yeah. Well, and he's still got the same agent, Oberhart, right?
I wonder
who only has two. I can't remember what it was.
Okay,
but he's also,
don't let that stop you.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. He is.
This is like a FNSU and whoever the other the guy. No, the guy in Columbus who was holding out.
You see, that's good.
Josh Anderson
or McDonald or
no, it's Josh Anderson. They have the same agent. Anderson decided I'm going to get the fuck back. Yeah,
I'm going to take my $1 million, please.
Since like, I've only ever collected 29 fucking points.
Are you hanging out waiting for a couple free Big Macs? Is that what's happening here? I want $1.05 million. Christ, man. Yeah, so I think that is the issue.
Is he going to stay long term?
Yeah.
How long? Full fucking...
Yeah, because I think that's the first numbers that people were throwing around were saying, you know, 7.5 for 8. Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. But you know what? As a 60-point guy, you look at what went out this summer. Oh,
he's not getting less than 6.
Okay, and so to me, I think the Sens are hoping for 6.5.
Yeah. I'd do that. I don't know if I'd do it for 8 years.
Okay, well, okay, and that's as you...
Yeah, yeah, well, that's the whole fucking thing.
Well, this is it. So welcome to it, right? and so...
I'd do it for 5.
Yeah. Well, I'd do it for $50. and I've actually paid for it, so it's okay. That's not true. No.
Sorry.
So, yes.
Roll that in. That's
he is staying. I just.
You don't think it's going to be the Matt Duchene show, eh?
No. No. Well, and not unless Sakic.
Well, the fucking thing, if it is, you know, I feel like Cody Ceci is just an awful hockey player. And at this point, they can't trade him for Matt Duchene because the defense is in goddamn shambles.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, Carlson's going to return and help that. And
well, and they expect Oduya. Maybe
and
to,
Freddie
maybe to,
maybe Oduya, to, as your color guy, we kept calling him there yesterday and today on the radio.
What's color guy?
The guy who works with Dean Brown.
Oh, Gordy.
3 times. Freddie Oduya. That's not fucking right, Gordy.
Yeah, that's not right.
Reminds
at all.
Me another fucking Cord Wilson. I
see, yeah, exactly.
Metal see, plate.
Gordy Wilson was the guy who the first time I heard him say, if my wife and I are rolling around in the sack.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and he's married to Patricia Bowles.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
He goes, so I'm not sure how Patricia feels about Gordy talking about
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
On summer radio, and he goes, and if the dog jumps up and licks my ass at the same time.
Oh, boy.
Does that count as a threesome?
You know, Patricia's had a couple of better threesomes. Yeah, it's
offers at least.
Yeah.
Not you and the St. Bernard.
Why don't we move down the highway away from the disturbing bestiality talk and into blue and white talk, which can be equally as creepy sometimes. Leafs 3-0 heading into action tonight. That may be, well, will be outdated in one way or another by the time you listen to this. New Jersey in town, also undefeated.
Jesper Blatt, or whatever that guy's name is.
Bratt.
Who the hell is that guy?
Yeah, seriously. All of a sudden, they're looking quick, and what? No, I still am comfortable with my last place prediction for that team.
You and I both had that. And you can't... Now they haven't been lighting it up, right? They're off.
They took a rip out of somebody in one of their 2 wins, I thought. But yeah, Buffalo, I think they laid a pretty handy beating on.
Yeah, and what happens with Buffalo?
Well, it appears they're still not good.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's dead. And I love that, dude, just for the record.
Why is that? Like, why is it so much fun to just look at Buffalo and go, yeah, fuck you.
Well, you know what?
Now, I need Eichel to be big because...
You have him in the pool?
I have him in the pool. But I need everyone else around him to be awful.
Man, I'm in, and everyone, I know everyone loves fantasy.
Other people's
fantasy sports talk. But I am in an epic struggle this week in the pool. And I have three, right now I have 3 of the top, well, it's 11 actually, scorers. And it's a 5-5 tie right now.
Is it the goalies again that are killing you?
The goalies are hooping me.
Because I was talking last night on Twitter with Maddie and Amy, who both appeared on this show before, and they're playing each other, and he should be killing her, but she's got James Neal, and he just keeps fucking going, right? Power play points here, game winners over here, goals over here.
Yeah, I like that guy. I like Maddie to revisit the whole Kuznetsov, Draisaitl, and
we may have to do a Grey Cup week hockey show while he's up
and
here.
And Panarin as the overrated trifecta. look atop the NHL scoring. What do you see there? Oh, you see Evgeny Kuznetsov.
Yes. I was about to say, it's early. So let's talk about undefeated top of the division Toronto Maple Leafs, who are averaging 6.5 goals per game, which was dragged down by their mere four against Chicago.
6.33.
Yeah, okay. You know what? That to me, the Winnipeg game was much more about Winnipeg than it was about Toronto, and they were awful, and their goaltending was awful. The New York game, you gave up a 5-1 lead.
Yep.
So,
I was like, ooh, I was pinching my nipples.
And then, yeah.
That was a hell of a shot, though.
And then
Matthew scored on an overtime.
That was against Chicago in the third game, and they were down 2-0 and 3-1 and came back to win that. Interesting. Ken Campbell of the Hockey News is kind of a botard, and he's putting out there in middle of the first period, this Toronto Maple Leafs team is a great team that's being taken to school by a multiple-time cup champion. And every single stat in the game favors Toronto except the 2-0 score. Well, now, that's a pretty big stat. That's an important
one. That is the most important stat.
But Toronto is absolutely running Chicago into the ground, and it was only a matter of time if you were watching that game. Anton Forsberg was playing pretty well. They eventually got to him. And when Austin Matthews was on the ice, he's playing against Artem Anisimov, Patrick Kane, and their line, and Keith and Seabrook on defense. The shot attempts at even strength are 29-3 for Toronto. So they are burying the Chicago Blackhawks in their number one defense pair. And it did look early on like, you know, all those stats don't mean much if you don't win, and maybe this is one that the old Wiley vets sneak out. But as you said, the shot Matthews took in overtime was, holy fuck, material.
Yeah, and that guy bothers me.
Matthews?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's going to make this way more fun for me for the next decade.
Yeah. Yeah, it's at least. Yeah, just how good he's looking. And I mean, in both ends of the ice,
yeah,
too, right? He's...
Well, he's doing some of that Datsyuk Stone kind of stick lift, yoink, going back this way.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's good, and that's...
Troubling.
Yeah, it's actually... Let's leave. Let's
well, that's fun. I enjoy hearing that. But the Leafs have, been dog shit in their own end. Like, it's pretty fun that they're scoring this much, but now, oh my God.
But you know what? I was looking at stats, and so they've scored 19 goals in three games, and they've allowed 10.
Yeah.
Okay, there's probably nine teams who've allowed more goals than them. And so people are shitting on Freddie Anderson, and they're shitting on the defense.
Yeah, it is worth noting because the Leafs have played a couple of, you said you don't think Chicago's making the playoffs. I don't think either of us picked Winnipeg to make the playoffs.
I did.
Well, that was foolish of you. How's that looking?
Well, okay, but you know what? And looking around, I'm not alone.
No, you're not.
And so
I might be in picking them not to.
Okay, well, no, and since then they beat Calgary and they beat Edmonton, or no, they beat Calgary. They were leading Calgary, and I think maybe they lost.
They did lose to Calgary.
Anyways, that's Paul Maurice.
Yeah, he's not good.
Well, and
but he got an extension, so God love him.
Well, that's what somebody said. Who that either Cheveldayoff
got one too,
or yeah. One of the two, if not both, this was NHL bold predictions. One of those two will be fired, maybe both, before the extensions kick in, which is, yeah, I want to see that happen. And you and I were kicking it around, and I sent you that email yesterday, which was all-time winningest NHL coaches,
right?
In terms of, you know, actual games won, you have Bowman. Quenneville now has passed into second place.
Yeah.
And Al Arbor. That's your top three all-time
Heady
winning
company.
Coach. Right. Al Arbor, 4 cup wins. Scotty Bowman, 87 cup wins, whatever he's got. in terms of, man, and let's look at just a cup appearances, right?
Right.
It was St. Louis with Detroit that they didn't win, and the ones they won with Detroit, and all them in Montreal. Quenneville with three, right, I think?
Yep.
So then you flip over and you go, all-time leading coaches in
losses.
In losses.
Yeah.
Number one, Scotty Bowman. Number two, Al Arbor. Right now, the numbers are lower than I would have expected. Scotty Bowman has 12. Scotty Bowman has 1,200 wins.
Yeah.
577 losses. Thing is,
and like I said, I sent you in response a goalie list.
Wait.
No, I know. But if you keep losing, you get fired. You don't get to hang around. It's only because you win. Like if you go 50-30 in 80 games every season, those 30 losses pile up in a hurry, right?
Yeah. So. Well, because Quenneville is like, okay, and number three on the all-time losing list is Paul Maurice.
Been a couple good years in Toronto that helped him pad those stats.
Right, and so
Andrew Raycroft helping him out.
I think Bowman has 8 wins as a head coach. A cup wins, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right.
8, 9,
yeah,
maybe
I think
10.
I think it's 8.
As I said, Al Arbor, 4. Paul Maurice, who by the end of this month, I think only needs four to pass Bowman. He will be the all-time losingest coach. How many cup wins does he have?
Oh, nuts. Not many.
Oh, snap. He's got 0.
He's got a final.
Yep. And you know what? I like Paul Maurice. He seems like a nice guy.
I'd like to have a beer with him, but I wouldn't like him to coach my hockey team.
But I think his defensive system, and when you look at I like it a lot. I like the talent that Winnipeg's got. I know we differ there.
We sure do.
Right, but to me, I like what they have. Now, their goaltending?
Suspect.
No, not suspect.
The suspect's been apprehended.
Yeah, this is exactly right. He said that exactly right. And if you're going, hey, Hellebuck, look at that guy. Yeah, Hellebuck you had already for a couple of years, and you said,
said in our preseason prediction, he would be the starter by the end of the year, and you balked at it.
Well,
he was the starter by the end of game one.
Yeah, I thought that Mason is what he is.
Terrible.
Right. If Philly's passing up on you, Chechmanic light, then you, my friend, are not the real deal. So
no.
Now I think they gave him $4.5 million.
No idea, but it's not for long.
I think it's long enough.
I think it's 2 years.
Okay, and so I think I heard somebody saying that they were looking for Pavlich's number.
Yeah, well, because Pavlik was interviewed on Tuesday, I believe, and he was talking about how...
Is he playing for the Elmira Jackals?
He's backing up Lundqvist in New York. He was talking about their goalie coach wanted him to start playing back more on his goal line, which obviously is what Lundqvist does. He said, I tried that. I've done it before. And it never seemed right to me.
And I find that it ruined my goals against.
He said, so I went back to doing what I was always taught to do. Be out, be aggressive, be whatever, handle the shooter. And if they pass it to someone that isn't mine and he scores, that's not my fault. That's the defenseman's fault. And he goes, my goalie coach says to me, he goes, yeah, it's true. It's not your fault, but it's still in our fucking net and we're still going to lose the game.
Yeah, and it's still in your stat sheet.
Right. So why don't you back up on the – and he goes, so I feel that a little bit. I get it now and I'm trying that a little more because I'm watching Lundqvist do it and be reasonably successful except against Toronto.
Yeah, and now, so, how big a man is Pavlik?
I don't know.
Because Lundqvist is big.
Reason I brought it up is they then asked him, did you see what happened in Winnipeg? Do you see how things are going out there? And he goes, yeah, I don't feel good about it. I feel bad for Mason, and I get it. And the way that the write-up, he's kind of given a smirk, like, that's their system. He's going to get torched over and over and over, and it's not going to be his fault. Now, he wasn't very good in the Toronto game, but he was also hung out to dry a few times. And Pavlik's right. It wasn't his fault. So I think he's happy enough to be standing behind what looks like a reasonably good New York defense corps. And a very well coached, right? Alain Vigneault I think we like a lot more than Paul Maurice.
Well, and all the things that they were talking about, right? That traditionally it is a defensive scheme where Maurice's teams, whether it's in Carolina, whether it's in Toronto, or here in Winnipeg,
yeah,
the falling down is in the defensive structure. and there was lots of talk. Yes, we've made progress. We're going to fix that. We're going to do our thing. But if you have Big Fat Bufflin, who just sort of freelances,
he's right? tearing it up.
Okay, offensively.
Ice time way up. Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. But that's because he's a winger.
But he is totally indifferent to some of the shit that happens in his own net.
For sure.
And somebody needs to grab him right by his goal.
Not going
to
be me.
Yeah, he's a big man.
Yeah, for sure. Big, angry fucking man.
Yep. Way to go. You left out a couple of us.
I did not. Yes. I said exactly what I meant to say.
Couple words in my mouth.
Yeah, you know what? It to me, but when you look at Paul Maurice, look at Carolina, where he had last gasps, Arturs Urbe in goal. Look at Toronto, where he has Andrew Raycroft in goal. And look at Winnipeg at the revolving door of dog shit that he's had
okay,
there in goal.
Look at this. So, Mac coming to the aid of one Paul Maurice.
Well, it's interesting because we don't know. It looks like his defensive system is shit, and I banked on it again heavy in the preseason predictions. Well, but when you look around at the goalies he's had, you go, yeah, but I kind of get it, right? Do we really know if he's any good or not? That old expression, show me a good goalie and I'll show you a good coach, or the opposite, show me a good coach, I'll show you a good goalie.
Yeah.
The opposite rings true heavy too, right? And show me a bad goalie and I'll show you Paul Maurice second in all-time losses.
So, and what do you think now in terms of moving it just a little further west? And I want to touch back on the Leafs before we get out of here because I know we've sort of we're still on the Leafs actually because
free flow,
free fall. Is the Oilers now after that sparkling opening night?
Oh, yeah,
3-0 shutout, McDavid with the hat trick.
I love that. The Oilers aren't just McDavid. Then you look at the score sheet on night one, McDavid, 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 and nothing else.
Yeah, well, Cam Talbot.
Yeah, true.
Shut-a-roni. Now, I think he's been terrible. Maybe since.
Yeah, Laurent Brossoir getting in there.
Brossoir.
Something French.
Yeah, no, it is. It's
Laurent Brossoir.
Yeah. Anyways.
Whatever.
Yeah, those guys... And again, ladies and gentlemen, we do understand 3-4 games in. Yeah. These are just thoughts, right? And as you look around and go, waiting for everything to shift out. But man, I think there's some resettling. They went out there to Vancouver and lost.
Yeah, teehee. Well, it's become fun, right? Because I really don't like Vancouver, but expecting them to be dog shit and then watching them beat other teams is also fun, right? Like. I was rooting hard for them against Ottawa last night.
How about Travis Green's day-old oatmeal face?
I still believe he could win 52% of his face-offs. Like looking at that guy coming down hot, heavy in the circle, right? Just
bearing down on him like a big deuce. they were saying, yeah, Travis Green was saying before that I was never really a bear in the gym. You know,
no kidding.
He goes, I would have cut myself 11 times if I was coaching me. So clearly.
Strangely, I can relate to that.
Yes, exactly. Coach Matt says, hey, you.
I get it, but sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I know what I should have done. And I'm imparting that life wisdom onto you. Perfect sense, coach.
Yep.
Yeah, so he was saying that, you know, and I think there's always a certain bit of that, right? You know what your shortcomings were. So I think Travis Green should bring Jeff O'Neill in as an assistant.
Is there ketchup on this?
Yeah, bring the O-Dog in and see if you guys can wreck a couple buffets up and down the West Coast.
If
you can exactly. But I wanted to touch back on the Leafs.
All right.
Just in terms of, and I think what's happening there, and I think, how many times have I said I think in the last 30 seconds?
17.
Okay. I think that what's going to happen is, they're going to have a fantastic, at this rate, they may win the division, right? In terms, just.
Sure. They may. They may score 400 goals and still have a +3 goal differential.
Okay, right now +9. That's a nice start. Is if you can have, a guy on your fourth line who's going to take second power play unit in terms of your boy downtown Connor Brown.
Love downtown.
Right? Who's going to get some power play time, yet be a skilled fourth line guy.
Which game it was. He led the team in ice time. He's killing penalties, power play time. They moved him up in the third period against Chicago to play with Kadri and Marlowe. And that's what they need to be doing. I think we talked about it once before. If it's going to be a heavy game, then yeah, spread it out. And Komarov plays on the third line with Kadri and Marlowe. If you're playing Chicago, it's not going to be heavy. There's no one who's going to fight, so Martin shouldn't even have been in the lineup.
Well,
there's no one who's going to...
Honestly, fighting... Have you seen any fighting this year?
I have not seen one fight this year. But right. In that case, move Komarov down and Brown up. Getting a little more skill going and...
Well, I don't think you can complain about what they got going right now.
I
think you're going to see more and more gifted fourth-line players.
Yeah, for sure
you I think that's on the way.
Yeah.
I think if you contrast, and I'm just going to contrast with what I know best in terms of Ottawa. Ottawa has some nice players up front. And I'm talking about Hoffman,
yep.
Stone, Turris, right?
Even and Broussard's had a pretty good start.
Broussard has had a nice start. So this is what I'm saying, though, is there's some nice pieces. But to me, none of those guys are pure finishers. Hoffman may be the one that has the ability to score 30-plus.
Yeah.
He has that sort of pure finisher. We haven't seen that in Bobby Ryan since he's been here. 4 30-goal seasons in Anaheim, none in Ottawa.
Right.
But made a sweet pass on that tying goal last night. That was...
True, yeah.
And that's what you had in Toronto in terms of Kadri, Bozak, JVR.
Yeah.
You had those guys were similar.
Yeah.
Right, in terms of...
Not bad.
Not bad. Good guys. 20, 30-goal scorers, sure. You know, good. If you can, in your case, through good drafting, right, you bring in Nylander, Marner, and Matthews, and you go, okay, these guys have some top-end capabilities. Now you're blending that in. Then you pluck a nice free agent piece in Marlowe, right?
And it just pushes down, right?
Like, right. And so Toronto, to me, that's the part where you go – in the regular season, for sure, they are going to have zero issue two out of every three games, right? I think that's an easy statement, right? I'll be interested to see what happens with that team. It's October 12th, 11th, whatever it is.
Yeah.
When you take the bottom half of the league out and shit just gets tight.
Well, it's true because that's what we've seen so far, right? Like I mentioned it a little while ago. I don't think Winnipeg's a playoff team. You don't think Chicago's a playoff team. So, in theory, you're facing lower half. New York, we both had in the playoffs, but in that four hole, I believe.
Yep.
And they're not locking it down, and that's what you have to do in the playoffs. We've seen it over and over and over. Like, we could be looking at Washington here, right, where run and gun. Oh, fuck, we can't run and gun anymore in May, right?
Yep.
Like
San Jose.
Sure. So... We'll see. But as you've said, having those guys, having Bozak, JVR as your top line is not a recipe for success. They're now our third line.
Right. And reading, I read what I thought was an excellent point, was perhaps one of the best things that Babcock has done since he's been there, is there's been, especially from last season through to this season, a real continuation of the same line combinations, more or less, right?
I don't remember... any time with the Leafs and really many teams where it's been this consistent for this long, right? We're on year two now of looking at almost no flux.
Right. And so you have that same familiarity and you have success and that's through lines one through three, right?
And I think the biggest reason that you jumble and start to, is because it's not working, right? And there'll be nights where this isn't working, but are there going to be nights where all three of those lines don't work?
No.
And that's the thing. So Matthew's line's not going tonight. Let's see if Kadri and Bozak's lines are going.
Yeah.
One of them's going to go.
And it's scary, right? And you were talking about Matt has installed a nice new TV here in the studio.
Sure have.
And so we were talking about, you know, for Patreon subscribers and the like that...
Patreon.com/TallCanAudio. Hit it.
We'd throw up, you know, a Sens Leaf game and just sort of have a couple beers.
Hang out, watch
shoot the breeze, watch a little
record.
Game with the mics running. And, and I said, yeah, you know what? I'm not super interested in that. I still firmly believe Ottawa's a playoff team.
Sure.
But I think on more nights than not, likely Toronto's going to hold a flame to Ottawa's ass, right? Just the styles of the game.
Right.
Right. Toronto has a real – Ottawa's game, its system in itself gives a little bit of chance, right? It bends.
Right.
Right. And the Leafs have more than enough guys who we're going to take a couple posts, but we're going to finish a couple of those, right?
Yeah.
And that was a great example last night was old ass Sedins.
Right.
There's not enough finish in that Vancouver lineup.
Right.
We can outlast those guys. Now, it's funny. You look at our, you know, making it into overtime, we grind away. Man, we barely beat everybody. Like, we can barely beat Washington, but we can also just barely beat Vancouver.
Yeah.
Right? That's just how, and now that's a system that lends itself to playoff hockey.
Holding it tight, holding it tight.
As you saw last spring.
That's it.
But it's a grind in the regular season.
Well, and I watched and read some more on that, right? I still think Ottawa's scary in the playoffs. I just don't. And I picked Ottawa to make the playoffs, but I'm not locked into it, right? Like, I don't.
You're not married to it.
I don't know that this system guarantees you a playoff spot. I know it guarantees you a motherfucker of a series once they get in, right?
Right. Like, it's a bear. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. It's,
over seven games, you go, fuck, enough of this, right? And it wears you down and it holds it tight. So we're going
to
see.
So it comes down to with Toronto, it's the opposite.
Yeah, for sure it is.
Right, we're going to see.
I don't think Babcock loves how these games are going.
No, I don't think he does either, but clearly you have to coach to the personnel.
Yep.
And now I think Babcock, you know, can probably harness a bit of this, right? He can put his stamp a bit on it.
Hopefully.
Well, and you know what? I hearken back to...
Hang back, people. We're hearkening.
Yes, to you saying, yeah, you know... You think it's the least time to go for it now? And, you know, that was back in, I don't know, June or whenever it was
we had that conversation. Earlier than that, the season wasn't even over last
year. I was like, you're on crack. but that's the reality.
Can't both be true.
Yeah. But the reality of that is it's ringing more. And it's sort of sad. You're already starting to mourn the loss of whoever you're going to lose now because
your JVR came out yesterday and goes, I'd like to stay. And Leaf fans went, sorry, man, you're gone. Like, yeah. Can't afford you.
JVR?
Yeah.
You're voted off the island. and that's how it goes, right? Is your team is likely never going to be better than it is right now.
Well, that's it. Like, get good quick. And I get the Marleau thing, right? It's concerning. It's a lot of money, and we'll see if they can unload it for that third
window,
season.
If your window is the next two seasons.
Then it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, you don't care about that third season.
Right.
Because your window is these next 2 years.
When you think about that when you're a GM, right? Like, would you not go, yeah, you know what? Give JVR the cheaper deal and give it for 8 years. Because that's what he said. I'll stay for, you know, I'd take the home down discount for years.
Would you take $750 a year for eight?
He may have to. I'd do that, right? But the thing is.
I'd do that.
But if you're the GM of the Leafs right now, you go, yeah. Because one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to win the cup. And then I'll be remembered as a legend forever and I don't care what happens afterwards. Or I'm going to be fired long before 8 years has run out here. So fuck it.
Right? Yeah, but I think the problem is you don't really care about year six regardless, win or lose.
Right.
It's how much do I have to give him now and what else is that not going to allow me to fit around?
And that's what everybody's talking about right now. Even in the...
JVR gone, free agent defenseman. Maybe John Carlson, UFA this year.
Whatever it might be, right? Like even the much smaller moves where you go, would you have liked to have had Brandon Leipzig, who made a sweet pass in that Vegas game last night,
no.
Next season for $750,000, or would you like Matt Martin for 2.5?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. You go... Okay, this is where it matters, right? I need that 1.5. I need that 1.75 to do other things.
And it is 1.25 you're talking about. And those are going to matter. And to me, that's the part about the salary cap, which I think some people love. They love the parity.
That's the part where it punishes good teams. Chicago, more than anybody, has been fucked by the cap. And it's because they keep developing good players.
Right. And Leafs, Habs, Rangers, Flyers...
I don't know what we're doing here.
No, we're talking about money franchises.
Oh yeah, okay.
Right, where really money is not an issue. Yeah, the cap sucks because otherwise,
it's not even that. I would love to see something like the NBA in terms of you get some flexibility on the cap to keep your own guys. That's all. Like if I'm Chicago and I keep...
What about franchise players like the NFL does?
Yeah. But if I'm with the Chicago and I keep drafting and developing and I keep finding these pieces to fit in around your Sods, right? Your lesser, your Shaws, right? Your Versteegs, your guys who aren't your core pieces, but I draft, I develop.
And I wickedly shat on Sod in our preseason thing too and took him in our pool and he's killing it too.
When you do all that and you go, yeah, sorry about that. You were really good at what you did. You did a nice job developing that guy, and now you got to trade him because you're too good. That's fucked.
Well, and that's what I'm saying to you is...
Maybe you shouldn't be able to bring in Hosa, but you should be able to keep your own guys. There's got to be a way that if you draft and develop well, you don't get punished for it.
Yep.
That's... I don't like that.
Okay, right? And I'm not familiar with the NBA system, so... I'm not sure exactly what you're speaking of, but I think you're right. I think if it's a homegrown product,
yeah,
that should give you, even if it's a reduced amount,
right,
only a certain percentage,
right,
counts to the cap, right?
Sure.
Sort of like an exchange rate.
Yep.
I like that idea, right? Because if you, as you said, if you've drafted and you've crafted a team properly, which is what you'd hope to encourage,
right?
Scouting, drafting.
When it means you don't have to keep throwing stupid money around in free agency, which is what the owners would like to.
Or it allows you to do a bit of that.
Yeah, but even in terms of trying to get this through to the owners, right, who don't want to pay more above the cap and this and that, you don't have to do it. You your own guys you can keep, right? Like imagine what would have happened if they could have kept all their guys. Bufflin gets to stay. Ladd gets to stay. Right?
Yeah.
Like that is a fucking dynasty.
They still have the bread man there. Right? Panarin's still there. You have, it's just.
Yeah. So yeah. Keith, Seabrook, and Taves and Kane, all homegrown guys, right?
Yarmolson's still there too, because he's still more than useful.
Yeah.
I think they're happy letting Oduya go.
Freddie Oduya.
Yep. Freddie.
We should get out of here. This one's getting a little long in the tooth. And the Leafs are playing. I want to go watch that. So.
All right.
See if they're still undefeated or not by the time this gets posted. That is Tall Can Sports. And we will see you on the next one.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.